What's going on, everyone? Another episode of Calcio Nostro podcast coming at you hot and heavy. Been away for a little bit, but a lot has happened. You know, we're going to delve into the Maldonina, what Milan and Inter have done since then. We're going to delve into the Roma situation, Napoli. We got a lot on the docket. Right now, I'm joined with Rocco and Mike. And I think, you know, kind of the first thing I want to delve into is Maldonina and post-Maldonina. Let's go to Mike first because he gets the spoils off of that week. So, Mike, what did you think of the Milan performance and the game itself?
I thought that the energy in the building was awesome. It was everything it's ever built to be whenever they play each other, and it had all of the right kind of characters going on. Going into it, you have the controversy, basically – Fonseca's playing for his, like, has to solve this or else he's going to get fired, figures it out. Milan looks really competent, really good. And it, in my mind, kind of Inter's still the team to beat, but it definitely pokes some holes in them. It was a fun game. Milan looked incredible. And they've continued that. Fonseca saves his job. And now, you know, fast forward to this week, gets another 3-0 win, and no one's talking about Fonseca on the hot seat anymore. It's just funny how two games can change everything.
Yeah, 100% share that sentiment. I feel like, you know, these past, what is it now, 5 or 6 games we've had so far, I feel like Inter really haven't been playing well, if I'm being honest. I feel like throughout the, I mean, maybe the first game they played well, but I mean, no, that was against Genoa. So honestly, they haven't really played well all season. You know, going back to the Maldonina, I think they looked kind of soft. I think they weren't bringing that natural kind of overall organization to the game. And moving past the Maldonina, you know, one guy I have to really point out and kind of blame it is I think Solmer has been really exposed this season. I think a lot more forwards are taking their chances against them. But it's also twofold in the fact that Solmer isn't as strong, but also I think the defense isn't as strong, where the defense is letting these more and more opportunities happen. Like against Udine, they had like a random header that you'd think that they'd be able to clear away from the set piece. Didn't do it. Luca, great run. But, you know, why is Hakan the only defender near him at that point? Why is he sliding in? And so also the finish, Solmer, again, I'm not a goalie by trade. I wouldn't know this. But someone could make the argument that he could have saved that or he should have saved it. And he just kind of was stuck rude to the spot. And it kind of goes back to my point I made on an earlier pod, where when it comes to the best goalkeeper in Serie A, it shouldn't be automatically attributed to just the clean sheets, because that's not just a goalkeeper thing. That's a defender thing as well. So I think now we're starting to see chinks in the armor of Inter, as Mike, you said, where they can be attacked. They can be got, essentially. And then from there, how do they react? How they change? And do they possibly bring in another center back? I know that was a concern at the earlier beginning of the transfer window. So, you know, again, it's still early. So like you said, again, Mike, that they are the team to beat, but I think they're a lot more beatable this year than they looked last year.
So going off of that, we've been saying since the first match of the year that Solmer has been not aggressive enough, mm-hmm. that he's been making too many mistakes. I don't think that anything for the Derby, that loss isn't attributable to Solmer, in my opinion. But today, Inter gets the win 3-2 over Udinese. There were a handful of moments in the match where a team with a bit more quality than Udinese would have capitalized, mm-hmm. where he's not pushing crosses, he's not coming out to meet players that are on the break. That concerns me, but yeah. I totally agree with what you just said, that Inter hasn't found their rhythm yet, but once they find their rhythm, they're still the team to beat, and they will find their rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also a point that needs to be made is apparently this preseason was one of the hardest preseasons they've had since post-Conte. So a lot of people are attributing to possible fatigue through this team because of the heavy training now to get them prepared for later in the season when their games potentially really pick up. Fair argument, but against teams like Udinese, yeah, the position of Udinese has ranged from near the bottom of the league to leading Serie A for a week to being in like the upper echelons of the European qualification. So, but it seemed like Udinese, you should handle quickly and you should handle confidently. The fact that it got nervy for the last, was it 8 or 10 minutes, including injury time, after that second goal from Udinese came in, that's concerning. Madonina, they had a record of winning or not losing the last six against Milan. They lose that. So it's there are warning signs. Again, for me, always with Inter, it's how they do against Juve. That's always been kind of my watermark of if they play well and they beat Juve, then their season's going to be fine. We haven't seen that yet. I don't know. I think it's coming in a week or two or 3 weeks. But again, there are warning signs, and I'm concerned if I were an Inter fan that this might be more of a longer problem versus just like a blip.
I think going on to the other side, though, of Milan, Gabbia gets the 89th minute winner.
Yeah.
A draw would have felt like a win for Milan.
Yeah.
Because of how long it's been since they've had any life in the derby. Mm-hmm. Fonseca, he's credible now. People
was
are.
That, was it the weekend like directly following Liverpool? Or
it was.
Yeah. So I remember like go after Liverpool gaming, like it's over for Fonseca because it's like
he's going.
It's hard to hold it against them losing to Liverpool because Liverpool is just like a better team right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was like the optics were really bad. They were up and then blew it. And then it was coming into the game against Inter. It was like, this is it. Like, he's going to get slapped up and then he's going to be gone. So it does feel like a big turning point moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the thing that now a week out from the derby that makes me confident of that is just how easily they handled Lecce. Obviously, Lecce is not a top quality team in Serie A, but they went in. It took them 5 minutes to get all three of their goals, but they looked electric and they handled the game. They didn't give up too many opportunities. That left-hand side with Leao and Teo looked like what it should look like the best left-hand side in all of Italy. And they got a really beautiful goal. Teo's goal was incredible if anyone saw it. But Milan on the up.
The pass from Leao was incredible too.
Oh, it was awesome. But yeah, I think if you're looking at it, if you're Inter at this point, I'm not too concerned. It's an annoying game to lose. You've had a handful of matches in the early part of the season that maybe in May we're looking back at and we're saying you don't draw against Genoa. You don't blow that game against Milan. You win the Scudetto. I think they will still win it. I'm not too concerned yet because they still are Inter. Lautaro finally found some form this weekend, got a couple of goals. So maybe that'll wake things up. And then I think if you're Milan and you're a Milan fan, you're feeling really confident right now. You've gotten a bunch of important points. Like the point against Lazio, I still think was really an important point for where Milan was and that point of the season. And it feels like they've come a really long way in just a couple of weeks from that.
Well, looking at just the table, I remember when we had, well, I know I was on this and now I'm pissed because Milan doing well, Fonseca's probably not on the hot seat. So my first dismissal bet was not great. But when we made those predictions and we made those points about Milan really suffering early on, they were, I think, 8th or 10th. And now they're 2 points off first and third. And they're ahead of Inter. So talk about a complete turnaround. Like you mentioned, it's, you know, they're really in a good spot now and they're looking like they're going to hit a form. But also, some guy to really highlight, Pulisic, coming up huge in these games. I think he's had a goal in the last five games that he's played in.
Stop.
For Milan.
You're ruining my good list section.
I didn't say anything. I was just saying, we're based in America. It's important to point this out, right, with Pulisic, where it's like he's been phenomenal in these games. He's been, I feel like he's maybe not jumped a level in terms of skill, but just in aggression and demanding the ball and trying to make sure that everything runs through him. It's always good to see from an American, but also for an Italian team to see that as well. I just wanted to give him his flowers because he's definitely really earned it.
I think for him, it's like an instance where I guess he's just one of those guys who, like, if you give him responsibility, he'll thrive, right? Because like he was on big teams before, like at Chelsea, but just wasn't a major player. And so never really had space to show that much on a consistent basis. But now it's like, Pulisic, you're in the best 11 on Milan.
Yeah.
Every week you're gonna be playing and he's responding. So that definitely, like you're saying, good for America.
Yeah,
for,
this is reminding me his rise right now is reminding me at a higher level how he kind of burst on the scene at Dortmund and how he kind of became an integral part of that team. Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing a similar rise, but not just from a youngster to a really good player. It's becoming a really good player to arguably one of, if not the best player. And it's really, if I'm Milan fans, I am overly ecstatic, especially the fact that you got that Milan got him for so cheap compared to what Chelsea had paid for him and like what his market rate was, although it was after a down season, but you know, you gotta pay credit where credit is due. So,
I think he's just comfortable now. Yeah. I think he feels good. He feels relied on and he's playing consistently, like Rocco said.
Yeah. No, 100% agree. I think that covers it for the Madalena, right? We can move over to the second place team in Juve, where I think, you know, they had a very, very boring game against Roma, which I think to much of the Juve supporters, big disappointment. I feel like they felt that maybe Roma could have been an opportunity to really establish Malta as, you know, the new wave, the offensive genius that some have credited him. Again, I don't fully believe that, but instead it was a 0-0. But today against Genoa, a team that Inter struggled with at Genoa, they win 3-0. Vlahovic has two, again, one being a pen. Still stand by my prediction.
And he should have had a third. He
should have had,
missed an open header.
Well, that's Vlahovic for you, you know? That's why what I said wasn't completely wrong. So, again, it's, I think what we're seeing now is a very, very close title race between probably the two Milan teams, Napoli and Juve. So, you know, I'm going to turn the floor to you, Rocco, if you have any comments about your beloved Jay.
I love them so much. Story of great love. I think they're pretty hot and cold. When they're hot, they look good, though. Like, obviously, it's a lot of depending on Vlahovic to keep it going, but, like, the young guys look good. I think that's the most promising thing. I feel like a lot of times these Juve young players don't really contribute too much, but I feel like, you know, they're out there and actually contributing in the offensive third, which is fun to see. And, like, the summer transfers mostly look like hits, which is another good thing for them. Like, Conce Sao scored today, right?
First goal for Juve, I think, in Serie A.
Yeah,
at least.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, and if it's like, oh, Malta wanted these guys to play his way, them doing what, like, those new guys playing really well, like, definitely bodes well for Juventus's, like, success this season and long term if it is clicking. But it's like that meme that Mike sent a little while ago, though. Like, they're either winning 3-0 or drawing 0-0. So
to just ask a quick question off of that, if you're a Juventus fan, because can't really quite place Rocco ever. if you're a Juventus fan, are you concerned that the two, what I would say, really talented teams that they played this year, really talented depending on the day for Roma, but they didn't score and they didn't look particularly dangerous against Roma or Napoli. They've beaten a handful of bottom feeders by a, you know, 3-3. I think they have 2-3-0 wins or 3-3-0 wins.
Yeah.
And then there's the Empoli game too. Are you concerned that they're beating up on the low level competition, which you need to do? Yeah,
I think you have to be, because like they're beating up on the low level competition. And like Marco said just now, it's like a 4-way race, at least for the title, right? The two Milan teams, Napoli, Juve, like Torino's hanging in there, but they're going to fall off at some point, you think, right? There's too many good teams in Italy right now that like, it can't just be like, oh yeah, Juve cleaned up on the bottom feeders and that's how they won the Scudetto. Like, they could maybe get top four just beating the bottom feeders or like thereabouts, but they're at some point this season going to have to come up with a result against a good team, which they haven't. Who they beat so far? Genoa,
Verona.
Yeah, Verona. They're not the Scudetto or European fighting teams. But I think another part of it is I think what Thiago Motta has been doing, where I think I kind of agree with, is with these bigger teams, he's like, this isn't the game to really try to find how we are offensively. I think it's more of with the the lower teams, it's okay, here we can experiment a little bit with how we play. We can be a little more on the front foot. With the bigger teams, I think he's realized we need to salvage points from these games, because also, especially, I'm not saying he's looking for a draw. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if they get a draw, it's like, look, like, yes, we only got a point, but they also only got a point. So any points that they would have liked to have on us, we're not giving them. And on the younger teams and the worst teams in the lower level, in the lower part of the table, he's saying, let's be creative. Let's try to take chances. Let's be more risky in terms of our approach to the game and then go from there. I think because there's a lot of new players, and I think some of the old players are playing in a very different way, different style, is going to take a lot more of adjusting to. And then I don't think we'll see, when it comes to bigger teams, that they play their quote unquote expansive football until the second fixture. Where when they play it, like teams like Inter and Milan, this first go around, probably more defensive, more pragmatic. When it's the second time around and they have more of a fluidity to their offense, I think that's when you'll see them really try to attack and go after those teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and even like saying now, like they only got, like they can't beat big teams. So, I mean, a point against Roma could be worse. They could have lost to Roma.
Yeah.
I remember at that point, I think I had said the week before in the pod, like, if a team loses, they're going to be really up against it. And, like, the draw, I think, was a good result at that time for both teams.
Yeah.
And then Juve also drew Napoli, right? So, like, that's a good point in the pocket.
It must be said that Napoli-Juve game was boring.
Well, so is the Roma-Juve game, too.
Yeah, both miserable games.
Yeah.
But I guess they got two points off teams that should be, like, top six or seven teams, which
that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, we can make this more of like a Napoli conversation now, but if you look at, I'm like trying to think of it from like a player matchup perspective. Roma have, albeit neutrally, a good center back in Mancini to go up against Vlahovic.
You can speak freely about how good Mancini is since Gaetano's not on the podcast.
He has been good. I said Roma might have the best defense in the league. So I was the one who made that pick. But you have a center back that can go toe-to-toe with Vlahovic and kind of shut him down. Napoli have the same thing in Buongiorno, right? So this, and Inter on paper have the center backs that can really put Vlahovic in their pocket when you think about it. I think that's also a part of it where I think the matchup just doesn't really work for Juve, but I still stick to my original point of, again, they're still trying to figure stuff out. They're still trying to understand how they really need to play. But going to Napoli, like, this team, they're looking good. They're looking scary good. The Conte effect is fully trudging along. Buongiorno looks like one of, if not the best center back in Serie A. Like, it's a great product. And the only thing that I hate about it is that Lukaku's on the team with the team that looks good. But I'll delegate to one of you guys to really expand on that first, and I'll add in where I can.
I'm going to be clear here. I think Napoli looks fun. They look exciting. Mm-hmm. They still, for me, need to do what we were just talking about Juve. They need to beat the big teams.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're only six games into the season. You mm-hmm. haven't had the opportunity to play the big teams. But when they played Juve, it was a really cagey 0-0 draw. They've beaten all of the teams that they need to beat, except Verona week one, which was like a disaster that no one really can understand at this point based on the way that they played. But they look exciting again. Cavara looks lively, and lively in a way that I think he didn't last year. I think getting Osimhen out the door has worked for the chemistry. Lukaku, I guess he's one of these every other year players at this point, where every other year
such a good content. Like,
that's fair.
Yeah.
They look good. They're pressing high. That's how they got one of their goals today. I think they're just in a better place. And I know my hot take to start the season was that this wasn't going to work for Conte and he was going to be out, but this kind of reinforces that he's the type of manager that can come in and implement a system that will get you points just by playing that system.
Well, okay, so I got to correct you on one thing. You said they didn't play any big teams and played well. They played Palermo and beat them 5-0, but I just wanted to like to put that out there, you know?
Biggest team in Sicily.
That's the biggest team in my heart, if that counts. But, you know, we're really going to be able to see it in these coming weeks because they have Empoli, where they're in six technically. Lecce, who are bad. Then they're after those two games, and they have they have Como next week. But after the Lecce game, they have at Milan, home to Atalanta, at Inter, home to Roma, at Torino, and then at Lazio for the Coppa Italia, and then home to Lazio that next week, that next game. So that is a real
good teams to hide. These guys, like, these teams can't hide. Like,
no, I know, but I'm saying, like, the test that Mike is talking about with Napoli specifically.
Yeah,
it's gonna come thick and fast, and that's when we're gonna see. Like, okay, do we have a Spalletti type issue that they had with Spalletti's first season at Napoli, where they played great? And then against the big teams, they couldn't capitalize. Or is it going to be a true Conte where it's like, hey, like, we're gonna beat these guys up. We're gonna try our best to really do it. He didn't do it against Juve, but maybe that was just, again, because early in the season, teams still trying to figure it out. I think this is, out of all the teams that are still figuring things out with new coaches, Napoli are the furthest along, and I'm very curious to see how they do as the season progresses. But other than that, we can transition to Roma, where it seems like the whole city's on fire. One of you two take it. You're the alleged Roma fans on this pod. So one of you guys take it.
Alleged Roma fans?
Yeah.
All right. I think, like,
Rago took the alleged comment too personally. He's like, all right, let me roll up my sleeves.
Let me
elbow Margo in the face while I talk about this.
No. So I just think, like, There's definitely, like, a big contingent of Roma fans who did not think De Rossi was doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And then De Rossi got fired, and now they're all flipping out. Why did De Rossi get fired? I think they did De Rossi kind of dirty the way it all happened. But, like,
they
that being
said, the board or the fans?
The board.
Okay.
That being said, like, he wasn't doing a good job. I think that they brought in a bunch of players for him and he wasn't getting the results. And I don't know. I'm not a fan of, like, making a change this early in the season. I guess their thought was, like, we don't want to throw the season away. But yeah, I don't know. It kind of a shitty way to do him like that. I do also think that the Roma fans are a bit much, like, threatening the CEO ladies' family and stuff. She had to step down.
Yeah, it was ugly. It was ugly.
And
it was,
being said, watching them is never pleasurable. Today they were terrible. They went down, and the crowd was on them so hard. Like, when they left the field at halftime, it was rough. Like, those guys looked very uncomfortable just to have to be, like, walking towards the crowd to go into, like, the tunnel and get out of the stadium.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. They've been bad. I'm glad I didn't pick them top four. I picked Lazio, of course.
They're looking like the more stable club right now, shockingly.
Yeah, which is shocking. Yeah. Mike, what else do you have on Roma?
Yeah, I mean, everybody is more so upset, I think, just because of who De Rossi is to Roma. And it's really tough to be in that position where you're a club legend and you have to coach. I think that there's sort of a disconnect from maybe the way that the Friedkins see it and the way that the average fan sees it, but nobody in the world can look at the way that Roma was playing and, like, Juric's managerial history and tell me that De Rossi was a better fit. Juric is a better coach. And, like, sadly, as special as De Rossi is, you need to just accept that as a fan, and it can suck, but it is for the better. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sort of torn on it myself. Like, I do think, like, Rocco is right. They did De Rossi dirty, but they didn't have any style under De Rossi. They didn't have any ideas. They have so many attacking players, and they just looked bad.
That's the thing, right? Like, you have Dybala, Baldanzi, or Balzini, if you listen to the guy from the midweek game, Sule, and then,
Dovbik.
Like,
last year, Lukaku and Tammy, right? Well, I guess Tammy.
Then you have Dovbik, the new
Dovbik, and Shomurodov, I guess. Shumarodov. I don't know how to pronounce it. They do have like
Their
they
players.
have a lot of good players. Like they have players that you would think they'd be in a higher position in the table than where they're at. And if that's the case, it's like it's really easy to point to the coach and be like, well, you know, you have the guys, why aren't you doing it? That being said, I do think like players need to take more accountability.
Yes.
They were so bad in the first half today, like just looked completely lost. I don't know.
But that's also a crazy thing about Roma, right? It takes some child from the Roma Youth Academy to come on and change the entire course of the
Yeah.
game. Pisselli
He was
played
very
really
good.
well.
Pisili.
Pisselli, sorry. But that
Bellini.
shouldn't be necessary when you have the personnel that you have at Roma.
Also, El Shaarawy, just another attacking player. That's
Yeah,
like
so
a useful body that they're
I'm thinking
underutilizing.
about it. Could it be, maybe it was an issue if they had too many attacking players that did the same thing when you think about it? Because you have Baldanzi, you have Dybala, you have Pellegrini technically, who's an attacking player, and then you have Sule, Shaarawy, and then there's another winger I'm forgetting. I forget the other winger. And then you have Dovbyk up top and not many forward backup for him. I feel like what they did with the recruiting was let's focus on the possible Dybala replacement versus what we actually need going forward for depth. Which I think in Roma, the assumption was once Saudi got linked, they're like, oh, he's going to go. They're going to match money that we can't afford, and Dybala is going to go. So I think a lot of these moves that they made were to recoup or at least cover what the loss would have been if Dybala went. Dybala not going, I think, put a wrench in the fact that, okay, now Dybala's been an integral part of our team. We're going to reinstall him as integral part of our team. And then we're going to be basically be Dybala inshallah as they did last season. So it's like, I think they have too many of players that do the same thing on top of they were expecting something for 90% of the time it was happening, and then the 10% probability kicked in, and that ended up being the end result. And therefore, now they're in no man's land. But again, to the Juric push that point that Mike made, the guy's a better coach. At Torino, he was given crap teams, terrible teams, and he made the most out of them. He made them competitive, and he made them actually be a troublesome place to go to for the bigger teams. Him going to Roma in a similar situation, the fact that he had to kind of work with whatever's given to him, but that these players are much better, I'm not surprised. And off the bounce, he has what, 2 wins and 2 games coaching for Roma?
Two wins in two Serie A games.
And
He
2 Serie A
drew
games, yes.
in the Europa League.
Well, that's the other test with Juric. He's like, okay, can he? He's never had a team that he had to balance both European play and domestic play. So now it's, can he do that? That I'm not too confident in, if I'm being honest. I think that instead, if he had just one Serie A, he can make Roma a potential Champions League contending team in terms of contending for the qualification spots. But I think because of the balance of two competitions, well, technically three if you count Coppa Italia, the balance of those three competitions is going to prove to be more of a thorn in his side versus an opportunity for him to grow as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I'm more hopeful for Roma at this point in terms of placement for the end of the season than I was 2 weeks ago. I didn't think that De Rossi was going to figure it out. At the worst case scenario with Juric, he'll find a way to make the defense totally stable and you'll win games because of that. Because now, like you said, he does have the attacking personnel to win games, like at Torino. So from a football perspective purely, not taking into account your ties to the team, Juric is the better option. Frustration in Rome, I understand it, but at the same time, it's just a difficult situation all around.
But again, like with the defense, it's shocking because you think when De Rossi came in, a lot of people were commenting how he's a very forward-thinking coach and very attack-minded coach. But when he was there, the defense actually wasn't bad. They were good. They were like holding up a lot of. They were causing a lot of issues for attacking players to figure out how to get through them. And now you bring in Juric, where like the defense is going to get further improved. that I'm actually intrigued to watch as to how much more improvement or how different does it look in a De Rossi defense versus a Juric defense. But it remains to be seen. You know, that's always something to look out for, to see, okay, do the fans eventually turn back onto the team and really give them the support, or are they just, you know, pardon my language, but really butthurt about the whole De Rossi situation. I'm curious to see it. But what they did with the CEO, that was, with all due respect, disgraceful. That was just...
Yeah, terrible.
It was disgusting. It was terrible. I understand this is a sport and this is a team that the fans love, and I understand that. But you don't threaten a family of someone. We're human at the end of the day. Like, why? What does this solve? It solves absolutely nothing. So... Sorry, had to get that out. Let's go to the other side of Rome, Lazio. I mean, they're looking pretty good. You know, they've had a few, a little of a bounce back. You know, Mike had Baroni as his first coach sacked, and now he's kind of looking like he's steadying the ship a little bit. I don't think that they're going to really push for Champions League, but again, I think they're still going to be a tough out regardless. Rocco and Mike's boy, Tati, has been looking like he's on fire.
He's so good, dude. So good.
What do you guys?
He didn't score this week, right? But I think he's been good.
Yeah, he's been solid.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're not in that fourth spot that I predicted them in yet.
Not yet, but they can come up.
I think they've been like pretty fun to watch when I've watched them, and yeah, like you said, I think Castellanos has been really good, and I think it's tough to become like the main guy after like Chiro was the main guy for so long, and now kind of. Looking at him, and he's not like the big prototype number nine, but I think in some ways that's good because he does kind of play similarly to Chiro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Good, I guess. Your boy Guendouzi scored today.
I know. Don't get me wrong. What he did at Arsenal that got him sent away, essentially, I don't approve of it at all. But the fact that he's actually bringing like an aggression and a grinta to Lazio, I think, is something that they needed, especially in the midfield. When you lose Luis Alberto, Milinkovic-Savic, like, you need that person to come in and just, in terms of overall energy and attitude, just be like, hey, let's get into this. Let's really dig our heels in and really get into this game. For some reason, again, in every Roma, there'd be, he goes insane, but I don't know why. But yeah, I think he's been good. The defense has been really good. They have that center back. Oh my God, what's his name? I can't think of his name. He was like linked to Madrid, I think, at one point. He's been really good. But again, it's like, sure, he looked similar to Juve problem. They look good against the lower teams. Bigger teams are coming to town. What's going to happen? How are you guys going to play? Like, that's always...
Beating Torino was a good, really good result for them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, aside from Torino, I don't think they've played... They played Milan where they tied 2-2. But other than that, I don't think they played any other big team. And then in the top six, I think. I don't think they play Juve. They didn't play Napoli. They didn't play Inter. They haven't played not Atalanta is another thing. They haven't played they played Roma yet? No, right?
No.
Yeah. So still remains to be seen. It is looking up. Their arrow is trending.
Venezia,
up.
They lost to Udinese.
Yeah.
They I don't know where they are that week. Oh, they tied with Milan.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Verona.
Yeah. Again, see, yeah.
So, yeah. Like, I mean, what you're saying makes sense, but they've hung around with the bigger teams that they've played, so I don't know.
Yeah. But
I mean, I'm not rooting for Lazio. Other than that, I want to be right in my Champions League call. But...
Oh, man.
All things considered, not a terrible start for them.
But Mike, I want to ask you a certain question. How much are you loving this Atalanta meltdown that they're having in Serie A?
Pretty fun, honestly.
Mike gets the last laugh on the Bergamo boys.
Oh, just especially today. I don't know if anyone watched the Paramount Plus coverage after the Roma game. They're talking about how everything's great at Atalanta because they've had Gasp just steadying the ship and how they run their system. Meanwhile, I'm watching this meltdown and I'm just like, oh, things look different this year.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. I don't know if what they do there is sustainable for as long as it's. First of all, I think it's gone on longer than I ever would have guessed.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Crazy.
But I mean, this is kind of what happens when CDK is your guy. They should have just asked me if they should have brought in CDK. I'm like, do you guys want more than 10 points?
Didn't they have some game in Europe where they like scrubbed some English team?
They beat, it was last year, they killed Liverpool, I think.
I thought earlier this season they had one and people were like, this is what happens when English teams play like an organized team. Oh yeah, that did happen.
Yeah, because there were all those memes that were like English managers versus Italian managers.
Exactly.
Who was that?
Yeah, I'm taking a look right now. In the meantime, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, in like one thing that you can kind of say to defend Atalanta is the fact that they got hit by so many injuries.
Marco, you should have known this. It was a draw with Arsenal.
I didn't say it because I was ashamed of it. But I could go on a whole Arsenal argument as to why that happened, but I'm not going to do it. But back to Atalanta. You know, they got hit with the injury to Scalvini. They got hit with the injury to Scamacca. Retegui is still, I think, trying to find his feet within the team. Parisi looks really good. I like Parisi a lot. But again, I think it's... We've seen this Atalanta before where... They do really well. I remember when they first started coming in, when they finished, I think, fourth, third, or second. They finished somewhere in the top four. Then everyone's like, oh, crap. They're a random team coming in. Whatever. They're going to lose. Then they take... It was right before COVID. Then when COVID hit, they barely lost to PSG in the Champions League. Right? Then, after that, hit a little bit of a down spiral. They're like fifth, sixth, whatever. About 2 years. And then going back up, they win the Europa League. They're fighting every team. They went on a crazy run at the end of last year. So I think there's just another part of their cycle where they hit the height. They're coming back down a little bit. They got unfortunate with some injuries. And then once I think this season is going to be a wash, I think they're going to lose some of their players. And then come next season, they're going to be one of those teams that's like, why did we ever doubt the Gasperini or Atalanta system? It's going to be, I feel like it's an ebbs and flows type of thing.
Oh, 100%. Like I'll joke about enjoying watching them not take points, but we all know at the end of the season they're going to be in the top seven.
Realistically, they'll be fine this year.
Yeah, they're going to be like Europa League spot, maybe Conference League spot, and then next year they'll be challenging Champions League. It's just a shame because I would have loved to see, you know, this 2.0 of Atalanta with Scamacca fully healthy, Scalvini fully healthy, and kind of seeing where the team goes, especially with the Champions League and so many games to be played this season. But you never know. It could still pan out where everyone just plays poi and they somehow rise above everyone else. But again, I don't think it's going to happen. But now I think we pretty much covered all that's been going on in Serie A. I want to now turn to Rocco for his good bad list of the past few weeks.
I've been pretty bad about keeping it up for the last few weeks, but
Rocco himself is on the bad list.
I should be on the bad list, honestly. I just did for this week. Pulisic on the good list.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that's for the last few weeks too, because I do have in my notes here, like you said earlier, five straight games with a goal.
Yeah.
So definite good list member. I always want to put Morata on my good list, you know? I don't want to be too Milan heavy though, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's on good list watch.
He's on good list watch, okay.
Well, bad list.
You could have a lot on this.
I don't know. Like slightly politically, I put the Roma board.
Okay.
Could also put the Roma fans. Could also put the Roma players.
But you don't want to make it Roma heavy either, do you?
I don't want to make it all about Roma. So. I have, this is kind of harsh. I put Miretti from Genoa on the bad list for missing a penalty in his Coppa Italia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Fixture. Because
wow, you're going Coppa Italia too. You really did. You made it seem like you didn't do any homework. Meanwhile, you're here writing off
just Coppa Italia.
It was a great game between Samp and Genoa. I also just like Miretti comes up. He takes the first penalty. They're like, Miretti has the pedigree. He's a Juventus player. Blah blah blah. Just like it was like 4 feet wide right. Like it was a miserable penalty.
Yeah.
And then I got Badlich or bad li- bad bleh.
Bad Lich is that new Roma player?
Watch going back to Milan, Tammy. I don't know. I feel like he can't find the net.
Dude, he can't put the ball on frame. Like, it's crazy.
He's frustrating to watch. That's why he's on the watch list, because he like gets into good positions and plays like cohesively with his teammates and stuff a lot of times. And then on the play where Pulisic scored, Tammy should have scored. He had a clean look and just can't do it. I don't know if it's like some kind of yips scenario, but like he's on the watch list. We'll see.
Mike,
he's on probation.
Mike, do you have any edits or additions you want
to? No, it's good. My only point here is that I'm happy that like the categories of the good list, bad list grow every week, where we have good list, watch list, bad list, watch list.
Just so many lists. I can't
commit fully to putting people on the list sometimes. Morata, it's like, it's just bias that I want to put him on the good list. Like, he did score a goal and he does always contribute to the build up play, which is why I want to put him on and why I've devoted more time talking about him than to Pulisic, who actually got on the good list.
Yeah. I think you're just holding out hope for Morata because of your old Juve roots.
I see
on the Zoom, Rocco's tearing up. He's missing him. He's missing him. I see the tears in Rocco's eyes.
There was a time when it was like over the summer, it was like Morata maybe to Roma, and I was like, please, that'd be great. Morata, I think, is a guy who, like, I don't know. I think like there's this misconception about him because he went to Chelsea for so much money and people are like, he never became a guy who's scoring 30 goals a season.
Yeah. I mean, he had that.
And I think as he's matured, he's kind of like this player who makes teams better, even if it's not with just the number of goals that he scores. So.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I mean, like also like even at Madrid, he wasn't really like that player. He was more of like a rotational player. But one person I want to add to your bad list is Sommer. I think Sommer, with these performances, I think he has a rightful place on your bad list.
I'll allow these celeb
put,
shot.
Just put a star there. Don't, I mean, you don't have to put it on. Just put it on your watch list. Be like, hey, let me see how
I'll
this.
I'll put him on the watch list.
Let's put him how this week comes out.
List. All right, he's in the notebook on the watch list.
All right, good. Now, although Galano isn't here on the pod, he did send us what his nice little gambling Gazzetta bet should be for this upcoming week of fixtures. He has a three-leg parlay of Roma, Juve, and Udinese all to win. And for reference, Monza is hosting Roma, Juve is home to Cagliari, and Udinese is home to Lecce. Doing the parlay gets you at plus 455 on your odds. So from our gambling quote-unquote expert, Galano the Gambler, we have his official parlay. Anything you guys have seen or anything you guys want to critique on that pick?
This is an insane parlay.
Yeah.
I would never place this. The only leg about this that I would feel at all confident about is Juve Cagliari.
Actually, I would only feel confident about Udinese if I'm being honest.
I don't know. I don't know, man. Udinese could...
I would never pick Udinese to win any.
Exactly.
Match.
Exactly. Like,
no, you guys don't believe.
Right now, if that was our prediction for this week, I'd be like nil-nil draw.
You know, you don't believe in the Zebretti. You guys, they're my team. For some reason, I don't know why, I always find myself in a situation where I'm always like wondering why I'm rooting for them, but I always want them to win. I don't get it. I'm just like, they have too good, in my mind, this was dating back like years ago when they had De La Fuego on the team. I always thought they had great players, and I thought they'd always stick it out, and I'm always wrong.
Yeah, but they always were painful to watch, dude.
Yeah, I know my disease. I got it. I am blindly supporting Udinese. I get it, but I just can't help myself. I don't know what it is. Wow, that was a long tangent. We're going to go over to game picks now. And although for the most part, this week doesn't look like it's a great week, we do have some interesting fixtures. So for reference of the pod, again, for the rules, those that don't attend their first pod get kind of a forgiveness policy. But given that Galano is missing his second pot of the season, he's not able to send in the picks. So we're going to go ahead and give our picks for the following three games. We have Inter hosting Torino, Milan hosting Fiore, and Lazio hosting Empoli. Let me just double check to make sure that's right, because it sounds weird that both Milan teams are hosting.
Just a quick note. It's only long-term listeners of the pod who even get the references to this Julio character that we make sometimes. And we're like, where's Julio in the table? Like, if you just started listening to the pod this season or last season or maybe the season before
that.
We
do apologize.
You haven't really heard much of this Julio guy.
Yeah.
So for the long-time listeners, like, you guys get the jokes.
So I misspoke. The Milan-Fiore game is actually at Fiore. I knew that looked off. I don't know why I had it.
Milan. Good reference to Julio, though, as he will be on the ground in Italy Tuesday. He's going to be at some Serie A games. We'll see if
can we loop him in.
Oh, wait, can we wait? So the pod knows the cities he's going to. I think you say he's going to Torino, and I think you say he's
Florence
going, and Florence. And is he going to Milan?
Bologna.
He's going to Milan. I think that he's not sure if he's going to Torino yet. He's going to Bologna, Florence, Rome, Milan. I'm not positive.
Okay. All right. So Florence, Rome, Milan, and Bologna, you said, right? Let me see. Okay. So Bologna
pick's going to be Julio's.
Well, no. So I want to have a fun little activity because I didn't know that he was going to all these cities. So Roma's away. So I don't think he's going to go to Rome. So out of Bologna, Milan, and Fiore, which I'm gonna go to Mike first because Mike has some intel. I'm gonna kind of play my bet off him. Of those three cities, of Milan, Fiore, and Bologna, which city do you think he's gonna go see a Serie A game in?
Jeez, sorry, Ollie's barking. Mike seems to be letting Ollie go run somewhere.
That's fine. Ollie is, for reference, Ollie is Rocco and Mike's dog.
Well, it's mine and Kiki's dog. He's visiting with me.
Ah, okay. So, Rocco, yeah. I'll delegate to you. Mike's back. So, Mike, what city do you think Julio's going to go see a Serie A game in?
I think he will end up at one in Florence. Florence is his home base for the trip, he said. So, I think he'll be at one match there, which is the most.
You should go next weekend. Thing.
Yeah, next weekend he'll be able to see Milan in person. So,
I think that's what he was shooting for. I know that he's meeting up with some friends in Florence, so he'll be there for a bit.
Okay. Oh, Julio's so cultured. Yeah. He has friends in Florence.
Rocco, I'll go
Excuse
to you.
Me. For what he's most likely to do?
Yeah, which city?
I think he's going to go to Torino to see Juve play. He texted me like weeks ago, and he's like, oh, going to go to the J or something like that. I think he's gonna make his best efforts to get out there.
Sorry, go ahead.
He's kind of just traveling around Italy, so he should try to go see his favorite team.
Does this guy work? He's not on the pod. I don't hear him working too much.
Nobody knows what he does or where he is.
I'm gonna go surprise pick. I'm gonna go Bologna. I think it's gonna be because it's a new city to him. I think he's gonna maybe venture into the stadium, see what's going on. Although it is a 9 a.m. game, so I might take that back. It's early.
It's 9 a.m. here, Marco.
I know, but still, like, it's early in the day for him.
It's a lunch game. He could do it.
I don't think he'd want to do it. I think he'd want to go to, like, a night game, no? I mean, I feel like night games are a lot more intriguing, especially this slate. You could go to Milan where you see Inter v Torino, but he'll never go to see an Inter game. I know that, so I'm not stupid.
I think he saw Inter, like, in Germany or something.
Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Yeah, this but is he adding to the mystique of Julio. Yeah. He's a world traveler.
Yeah, everyone probably is like, this Julio guy sounds cool. No wonder he's not on the pod.
He doesn't have time to do this dumb
setting
podcast.
To go watch soccer.
Meanwhile, he's going to Barcelona. He's going to fucking Viore. He's going everywhere.
I honestly regret mentioning him because now we're kind of giving him more clout than he deserves. But
if this brings listeners, hey, we'll do whatever we need to do.
Julio's travel blog, a new section on the pod.
Oh my God. No, we have too many sections on the pod as it is. Okay. So back to predictions. That was an even longer tangent. So first game, Inter hosting Torino. Rocco, you go first.
Two nil Inter. I wanted to give Torino a goal, but
Mike, what's your
I'm
pick?
Not going to do it.
I'm going to go 3-1 Inter.
Whoa. He gave him a goal.
In the spirit of Galano, I'm going to go 1-1.
Damn.
That's a good pick, honestly.
Next is Fiore hosting Milan. Mike, you go first.
2-0 Milan. Whoa,
that was a little quick. Okay. Rocco, what are you doing?
I'll go 1-0 Milan.
I think that's a good pick. I'm going to go 3-1 Milan.
Ooh, spicy.
Then the last game is Lazio v Empoli. The reason why this is on is because technically they're in the same spot in the table. I think they're both fighting for sixth or fifth. So I know people are like, oh, why put Empoli in the predictions? Well, table standing says otherwise. I'm going to go first on this. I'm going to go Lazio 2-0.
Good pick.
Mike, you're up.
2-0 is a good pick. I'm going to go 2-1.
Lazio?
Yeah.
Okay. Rocco?
I'll go 3-1 Lazio. I think Lazio is going to win, and I don't want to go with the same scoreline as you guys. So.
All righty. And just to give our listeners a little heads up and update as to what the table is looking like. After the last week we predicted, which was the Lazio-Milan game, Rocco got that game completely correct. So he got 3 points. He picked the 2-2 draw. Mm-hmm. And with that, the table reads as follows. Rocco, nice lead over Mike. He with 6 points. Mike Ooh. Has 4 points. So it's a nice little 2-point lead. And the way we score, it's a healthy lead. I am coming up in third with 2 points, and then Galano is tied with me, but he's in fourth just because I don't like him that much. So he's in fourth with 2 points as well. Then Julio, ever so famously, has 0 points. So
we got to start deducting points at some point.
But if he doesn't come on, then it's not even worth it. We can't even get his reaction when he gets negative points.
We could, if he ever comes on though, and we're like, yeah, currently Julio, you have like negative 14.
Oh yeah,
points.
If I get a commitment that he's on while you guys are speaking, I'll deduct whatever. It doesn't matter. But yeah, so that's how the table reads. You know, obviously Serie A is in full swing. You know, I'm very looking forward to seeing these games and kind of seeing as we talked about how the season progresses. But unless you guys have anything, I'm pretty sure that's it for the pod. I think it's another successful pod that we just did.
Yes, Parma Cagliari tomorrow. Wrap up the week.
Yep. Always good to have games on Monday. That way work mm-hmm. is a little less
productive. Ease into the work week.
Ease into the work week. Yep. But until next time, ciao, everyone.